there's this duality of Vermont that wants to paint itself really as this place that's keeping it weird and a bunch of liberal cats that are arms wide open and we want to make space for everyone. But actively in our processes, our systems, or just our general way of being, we are driving folks out the door at an alarming rate. And that's something, again, that I think is really, really an opportunity as much as it is a problem. We can either choose to continue to be the place that makes people walk away, or we can start to be a place that makes people want to come here and stay here.
Stories tell everything. When someone tells a story, it resonates.
We're allies in trying to keep the attention and the money and the conversation local.
We've always found once we get people to Vermont, they love it here.
And it breaks down those stereotypical views of what people would otherwise think is happening up in Vermont.
Welcome to Learning Life, where we talk to Vermonters about their businesses, aspirations, and stories of life in the Green Mountains. I'm your host, John Toda. Let's get into it. Welcome to another episode of Learning Life. I'm your host, John Toda, and we're coming to you from the Dialed Studio at Hula. My guest today is Emiliano Void. He's the founder of New Wave Equity Corporation and an awesome dude. We're excited to have him right here in the studio with us today. So welcome to Learning Life.
Thanks for having us.
So tell everybody a little bit about New Wave. I think when I first heard equity, I thought you were in finance.
Yeah.
So, and I know that's not the case now. So tell our audience a little bit about, just first and foremost, what's New Wave Equity Corp and what are you guys doing?
Yeah, we get a lot of phone calls from the New Wave, like air fryers as well. That's not what we're doing on this side of the fence. But New Wave Equity Corporation is really an interdisciplinary diverse equity and inclusion-based consulting firm right here in Burlington, Vermont. We have about four different divisions. So we do traditional consulting. We have HR professionals. We have a really cool data and technology platform that I think is one of the big, big differentiators for us as well. We also acquired a marketing and advertising firm just last year that helps us to do a lot of the marketing stuff, a lot of the internal communication strategies as well. So we're a motley crew of like ragtag people running around trying to do good work.
That's awesome. It's great to see. And tell our listeners, as you know, we're a Vermont show and we're interviewing great Vermont entrepreneurs like yourself. So what brought you to Vermont? I know you're from Montreal originally.
Yes, sir.
Tell us a little bit about your background, your story. What brought you to the Green Mountains?
I think what brought me here is what brought most people here. I was following my heart, following a girl at the time. Certainly, it was not on my radar for the places that I was hoping to end up, but I couldn't be more grateful for the opportunity to be here and call this place home. But yeah, probably about 8 years ago, we were looking for a new place to kind of settle down and really kind of set down some roots. And Vermont just kind of ended up popping up on the radar. California was option number one, but Vermont ended up being the de facto option. And so we ended up here, and it has been an unbelievable life choice and has had a really impressive and amazing impact on myself personally. And certainly it's where I've started to build a business, build a life, and I've explored parts of myself that if I stayed in a city, I don't think ever would have happened.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I know from interviewing so many people here locally, they always talk about how welcoming the business community is here. And obviously, you had a long stretch working for Dealer.com, Cox Automotive. So you've been kind of brought into that business community here where they've really been involved in so much of the entrepreneurial community. Tell us a little bit about your experience getting your own business up and running and scaling it now and working within this business community. How's that experience been?
Yeah, Dealer.com was an absolute pivotal moment in my life, financially, professionally, and in a bunch of different ways. Also opened up great, great connections that I still really hold dear today. So big shout out to Cox Automotive and Dealer.com. But ultimately, some of our work started not only in community here while we were working for Dealer.com and Cox Automotive, but some of it really started to find real traction while we were working for them. We started national nonprofits that tackled anti-Black and systemic racism. And at that point in time, we were starting to have impact really at a large scale, enough so that I
didn't feel right anymore to continue to contribute just part of my time, focus, and efforts towards making the change for a community that I think is historically, or there's no thought about it, a community that has been historically underserved and marginalized. And the opportunity for us to create impact at scale was really what drove us to really jump off from the traditional kind of corporate life and head first into entrepreneurship. And we have stumbled and fumbled forward ever since. But we've been, the Burlington and really the Vermont business community has welcomed us with open arms, have been unbelievable partners, advocates, you know, clients, the whole shebang, mentors as well. And I think there's a real desire for real change, innovative solutioning in this place. And I think what we're building with New Wave really resonated with the business community. And I think it's reflective in how they've really welcomed us in.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I know one of the things you told me about that really kind of stayed with me was this idea that when you're trying to fight something, a systemic issue like this, you want to have systemic solutions to it, right?
Yeah.
And in order for that to work, I think one of the things that you mentioned that really should resonate with businesses is that it should be good for business. It should be profitable. And if you execute some of the strategies you're talking about and your team put together, that it's not just that it's the right thing to do, but that it's good for business. Is that message resonating with businesses? Do you see that becoming easier now than it might have been 5 or 10 years ago?
Yeah, well, the George Floyd murder really shifted, I think, not only national perspective on the level of accountability that we need to carry as individuals, but also as organizations and businesses and the way that we really lean in and understand how it is that societal constructs really impact marginalized folks as a whole. The flat out honest truth is if doing the right thing because it was the right thing was enough to move the needle forward, we'd be a lot further along in this conversation than what we are currently today. And unfortunately, the only color that seems to move anybody in any significant way at scale has always been green. And that's no different in the conversation for helping folks. So understanding and helping businesses understand that really social innovation through the eye of diversity, equity, and inclusion work is not only good for people that historically have needed additional focus, attention, and consideration, but also is good for the bottom line of the organization, really aligns not only the primary drivers of business as a whole, but also really the moral compass that people have had seen more kind of activated and turned on really since the global awakening following the steps of the George Floyd murder. So yeah, I think pairing really the two, helping folks understand that doing the right thing can also make you money, I'm hard pressed to figure out what the losing combination is in that.
Yeah. No, it's refreshing to hear too, right? Like, because if you're trying to make big change, you've got to speak in the language that businesses are going to understand. And it takes one of the objections out of the way because it's not just a cost. It's good for the business overall. And so tell us a little bit about, you know, as you've been working at this, and I know you probably are working with people all over the country, maybe all over the world, but as we put this focus and spotlight right on Vermont, a couple things that you and I had talked about before really stayed with me too, of just kind of what's the state of diversity in Vermont today? I think you're probably seeing a much clearer picture of that than most people because of the work that you do. Tell our listeners, like, what does it look like in Vermont now? What's the, not just the current state, but what's the motivation? What's the climate looking like as you go forward?
Yeah, well, we're the second oldest, second whitest state in the country. And neither of those things are particularly good.
Neither one's really great.
Just singularly, right? When you have singular representation in any capacity, right? Your opportunity for problem solving, creative solutioning, diversity of thought and perspective, that dwindles in a big, big way. And certainly when you look at things like the economic outlook of the state, you know, having an aging population and no real way to kind of crack the code on that and not finding ways to bring and attract more diverse folks from diverse walk of lives to this place, I think you start to really put together some issues that are, I think, really should be paid attention to in a big, big way. One of the interesting things that is happening in Vermont and a lot of the change in the growth and diversity comes really from Chittenden County as a whole. 99.something% of population increase since 2010 has been Black and Brown or BIPOC folks. So diversity is happening now in ways here that has never happened historically before. So Vermont, the Vermont that we know, or maybe the Vermont that historically has been known, is changing, and it's changing not in the future. It's happening right now. You look at the diversity levels of really our local education institutions. You look at BHS, you look at Winooski High. Representation for ethnic diversity in those spaces are 50%+ across the board, right? The kids that are here today are very different than the kids that were growing up here you know, historically and through time, so that there's a need now, there's an urgency for us to be better positioned and acclimated to make more space for folks with that come with a different perspective, a different lived experience, and a different walk of life. Certainly the option that I think is really in front of this place as a whole is we either continue to put our heads in the sand and pretend like it's not happening and get smashed by this wave of really diversification, not only here locally, but nationally as a whole, or we can really start to be proactive about it and position ourselves in a way that we can create a more welcoming and inclusive environment for folks from all different kinds of places that allow them to really feel like this can be home for them as well. One of the numbers that I think is terrifying about Vermont is we're the number one highest brain dump state in the country. It's not, no disrespect to anybody else here, but it's not like a, you know, I don't know, West Virginia or Nebraska. You know, I think of those would be the kind of places I would be looking to run away from as fast as possible. It happens right here. Right around 50% of the kids that we graduate from post-secondary institutions leave this place upon receiving their degree. There's something that is happening here that has happened and continues to happen that makes young folks want to get up out of here, that doesn't make it very welcoming or inviting for folks that have any kind of ethnic or diversity background from that perspective. I think another really interesting number is like we're top five in the country for LGBTQ plus representation, folks that identify per capita. And we're also top five for LGBTQ plus based hate crimes. And so there's this duality of Vermont that wants to paint itself really as this place that's keeping it weird and a bunch of liberal cats that are arms wide open and we want to make space for everyone. But actively in our processes, our systems, or just our general way of being, we are driving folks out the door at an alarming rate. And that's something, again, that I think is really, really an opportunity as much as it is a problem. We can either choose to continue to be the place that makes people walk away, or we can start to be a place that makes people want to come here and stay here.
Yeah, I think it's so important. And when you lay some of those stats out, and I think for a lot of people, you just don't think about that. You kind of see it, but you don't hear it in, and you don't hear what those rankings are and those numbers. And then you're like, wow, that needs to be worked on. What is the biggest obstacle, especially when you're dealing with a smaller state, smaller community, like we're dealing with in Burlington and Vermont overall? What are some of the things that you can do to overcome the obstacles, to get people motivated to make change, to rally some inspiration around it? Is it something that we can all be working on? Are there some suggestions you have, things that people could be doing to like really move the needle or get people motivated to move the needle?
Yeah, so a big mentor of mine once told me, if you do something well, never do it for free. So we'll save the recommendations for if people want to know how we do business on the New Wave side of the fence, give your boy a call. But certainly, I think that what keeps folks from action here is the same that what keeps folks from action in every other place. They either don't know, they're not confident, they're afraid to do the right thing, or unfortunately, it doesn't find itself at the top of the priority list for things that need to get done or worked on right now. So I think the opportunity is such, and what's really, really cool, or I think really encouraging about this work, is the level of research coming out showing how focusing on your people, social innovation, making sure that we are aligning ourselves as organizations to societal values and norms allows for greater retention, better attraction engines for new workforce, new market segmentation and opening up, product discovery. A whole bunch of really interesting points come from the more you create an environment that makes more sense for more people, the more likely you are to get different perspectives and point of view, which just contributes positively to yourself as an organization. So I think just getting kind of comfortable with the idea that we continue to talk about people being our best resource, we can start to invest in a way that is more intentional about how we really take care of our number one resource, which is our people. And some of that has to come with a different line of sight and prioritization on how you really invest into efforts that are aimed and really targeted with intentionality towards making spaces make the most sense for folks and all of their differences, not just racial and ethnic, but of all forms.
Oh, that's great. Great recommendations. And again, check out New Wave. If they're interested in learning more about these solutions, getting involved with you guys, making a difference, where should they go?
Yeah, newwaveco.com.
Newwaveco.com. And I want to make sure that we talk about the Black experience.
Sure.
Because it's, I think, you know, as you and I talked about it and I took a look at it, I think it's such a great accomplishment. Second year running now. I think you guys started in 22 and you just did in February the 23 Black experience. Tell our audience a little bit about what it is, why you did it, and what they can expect in the next one.
Yeah, so you'd spoken prior about systemic problems requiring systemic solutions. for us as an organization, that's really the guiding principle, right? The problems happen in all aspects of society. The solutions, therefore, have to exist in all of those spaces as well. And we would be disingenuous if the work that we did was only focused on corporate workspaces or educational institutions where we spend some of the hours of our day and not in the communities where we live most of our lives. So the corporate social responsibility arm of what we do in New Wave is to put together cultural celebrations that elevate and celebrate really Black and brown voices here locally. So the Black experience for us was really an opportunity that we saw a real gap. There was nothing that we thought was a flagship event that was celebratory for Black folks, particularly in the framework of Black History Month. So we just said, fuck it. Let's see if we can figure out a way to kind of throw our hat in the ring and see if we can build something that would galvanize and rally people to an opportunity to really showcase, you know, the Black talent that's here and bring in unbelievable Black talent on top in a complimentary fashion. And I think what's been really cool about it is the response from the community is the justification that we need to continue to be, I think, driven to create opportunities like this. But one thing that I think is so important for people to know, we had no idea what we were doing. No clue whatsoever. We were just like, dude, there's nothing happening here. There's nothing. There was a huge, huge gap. And people are always finding excuses and reasons why not to do things. I'm not an expert. I'm not an event planner, yada, yada, whatever it may be. All of those same options were on the table for us as well. But we're committed to change. And so we find the reasons not to not do something. We find the reasons why it makes sense for us to do something. We commit ourselves to action. And so we really, like I said, we just kind of fell forward into trying to bring something and build something that would allow folks to really see themselves celebrated and elevated for a place that the population that represents Black folks is less than 2% of the demographic of Vermont. Part of that contributes to this feeling that this is not a space that makes sense for Black folks. And so we were trying to be intentional about creating something that could start to change that. And so the Black experience is just it's really me and Rajni Eddings. Big shout out to Rajni. We just kind of put our heads together and said, hey, I think we can do something here. And I think there's enough people that want to do something different here that we can find the partners necessary to make it happen. And the city has been a great partner for us, the folks at the Flynn and all of our supporters thus far. It's been way more yeses than nos all the way through. And I think if nothing else, this is an example of what kind of change you can create when all you do is find excuses to do it instead of finding excuses to not do it.
Yeah, no, I love that story. And I know from talking to you about it, it's like one of those things that you guys didn't have any background in this. You just knew it was something that needed to happen. And you got such amazing talent to come for an event like this. I think you set the bar kind of high with some of the acts you've had. What do you got planned for next year? Anything people can look forward to?
Ooh, we got some stuff. We're cooking up some stuff for 2024. We're super fortunate that we just locked in some of the performers already for next year. But a huge part of it as well is how do you continue to build momentum around this? One of the really interesting concepts that I try to keep in mind is leaving, taking back some soup, create a communal pot of soup that you don't just have access to when you're in the building in the moment. Find something that allows folks to walk away and bring something back with them. So we're going to try to be really intentional about creating opportunities for education. And that's why we bring in unbelievable speakers like Trisha Rose and Dr. Angela Davis. We're going to try to find ways that the effort and the impact that we create through the medium of celebration in the Black experience doesn't stop when the kind of lights go off. And so we're going to try to find ways to galvanize the community to really wrap itself around what it is that we're doing and find ways to continue to permeate that desire for a different way of looking and feeling in this space, particularly for Black and brown folks, that lasts longer than, you know, the day or the 2 days that we're running the event.
Well, that's a great point. And so is it next February?
Yeah, 2024? Next February. Yeah, unless the city or the Flynn kicks us out. Yeah, that's what we got so far.
All right. And so now if people are listening and they are interested in the Black experience, they want to stay up to date, get registered down the road and all the acts and everything are published. Mm-hmm. Where's the location for them? Should they just go to the New Wave website or is it something different?
Yeah, we have some of the stuff on the community section of what we do on the New Wave website, but also you can just check out blackexperiencevt.com. It has its own website where we showcase the talent that was there last year, the year before, and we'll be showcasing everything that we got coming as well.
Very cool. And how's that structured? Is it good for families, for kids? Is it during the day? How's it? How's the event run?
Yeah, it's for everyone. It's for everyone, but it's also heavy, you know? Like, folks that live here, and particularly Black folks that have felt like on the fringes, unseen or unheard, right? They got something to say. And some of it is really encouraging and uplifting, and some of it is really tough. And I think it's a dialogue that folks need to hear. Growth happens in spaces where you get uncomfortable. So certainly expect there to be some discomfort in the conversation and what it is that you hear, but it is all centered around authentic connections and cultural celebration of a population and a demographic that rarely finds itself present, reflected, or represented in any other space. So when you clear space for folks and you remove kind of the filter, you get what you get. So yeah, I certainly would encourage families to attend. We do a great job of feeding folks. We have diverse acts. Last year we had dance, we had musical performances, we had really cool conversations. There's certainly something there for everyone. But also don't come with the idea that it's going to be your cookie cutter, run of the mill kind of showdown. It's different, and it's intentionally different. It's intentionally meant to showcase people that don't necessarily get the time, the space, or the spotlight to really share what it is that they're going through and living in this environment. So yeah, there's going to be some discomfort, but again, I think it's something for everyone.
Yeah, I think that's great. And definitely something everyone should look at. And especially when we're living in a less diverse state like mm-hmm. Vermont. Yeah. And so for people who are listening and they want to learn more about everything, newwaveco.com.
Yes, sir.
Check it out. If someone is listening, particularly to what you did with the Black experience and some of the impact that you're creating, and they're feeling inspired and they want to talk to you about how they could do something like that, what's the best way to get in touch with you? Is it through LinkedIn or through the website? How do you want people to do that?
Yeah, LinkedIn works great. The website works great. 774-262-9353. That's my direct cell phone. So there's really no excuses. For us, the big measure of success in the work that we do is not if we can do it once, and it's not if we are the only people that are capable of doing it. Something like the Black experience is meant to showcase what folks that are marginalized can stand up and do for themselves as a community. That's available to everyone. So if anybody is out there thinking about doing something similar for any kind of marginalized or discriminated community, period, we'd be happy to help. We'll share everything we have. There can be no competition in social advancement. So we're really cards on the table the entire time. And that's how we conduct ourselves as an organization and a business. And it's reflected in the way that we really show up for our community through things like the Black experience as well.
That's awesome, man. Hey, thank you so much. The impact you're making and the inspiration, having these discussions, getting it out into the open. I love what you're doing, Emiliano. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. And I would say parting kind of words for folks. We're constantly learning. We're constantly making mistakes. But any form of action, for the most part, is better than inaction. And you just got to kind of find the will to really step forward, be brave in making mistakes, be brave in falling forward. Surround yourself with very talented people. I would say that has been the saving grace for the work that we've done. But the more we get to bring really focus and attention and shine a light on work like this that's happening, and there are great folks doing this kind of work all throughout this state already, I think the more of an opportunity it is for us to end up in a space where this place makes more sense than just one group of people.
That's great advice. And you are definitely an inspiration to a lot of people. So thank you, man.
I appreciate that.
And to all of our listeners, thank you for listening. As you know, we have new episodes that come out all the time. So wherever you're listening, be sure to subscribe. Leave us comments. We love to hear from you guys. And until our next episode, happy learning. Hey everyone, John Toda here. I want to thank you for tuning in to another Learning Life episode. We love our Learning Life community and are so grateful for your support. We'd appreciate it if you could take a minute to rate us and write a review wherever you're listening right now. Your ratings and comments help new people find the show so we can keep growing our community and bringing great episodes to you.